And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, the convention has happened, the world watched, or most of the world, and the first virtual political convention in American history has come and gone. Welcome to the program, Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson. And I want to talk a little bit about the Democrat National Convention, and specifically candidate Biden's speech last night. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. What did you think of the speech? And I'm going to give you some analysis on my part, but I'm very honored to be sitting in today for Bishop Jackson. My name, again, Alex McFarland. I have the privilege, what a privilege, every afternoon I am heard on the American Family Radio Network on a program called Exploring the Word, and that airs 3 to 4 Central Time, 4 to 5 Eastern Time, and so on and so forth, depending on where you are in the country. And Exploring the Word is a Bible teaching show, and we take live questions, and for the last 9 or 10 years, it's been the joy of my life to be communicating with you, the wonderful listeners of the American Family Radio Network. And there's so much going on, so many exciting things. And I've got a brand new book out called The Assault on America, What We Must Do to Save Our Country. And so in that spirit, let me give the number, 888-589-8840. If you'd like to call in, 888-589-8840. What did you think of candidate Biden's speech last night? Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm a Christian, conservative, registered Republican. I can honestly say, while I have over the years voted for Christian, conservative, Republican candidates, as the years have gone by, I've really become kind of a single-issue voter. I mean, the issue of life, because as I read our Declaration, Constitution, Bill of Rights, it's been my privilege to study American history and even to teach it at the college and post-grad levels. This little phrase from the Declaration, that all are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these, and the very first right, that inalienable right now, inalienability, inalienable means can't be taken away, at least not legitimately. Now, can a government or an individual take another person's life? Sure. Murder happens, but not legitimately. The right to life, L-I-F-E. So being pro-life is a key to where my heart and soul and convictions lie, and my wife as well. But if you want to weigh in, I would love you, the populace. Hey, if you think Biden did great, he put points on the board. It was a home run. Let me hear you. If you think, no, it was not good, it was empty words, very wooden, robotic delivery while he was tethered to a teleprompter. Let me hear what you think. 888-589-8840. I do want to give some thoughts, and let's circle back and talk about this. Okay, we are a country of a predominantly two-party system, Republicans and Democrats. And you know, it's interesting. I'm from the Bible Belt. I grew up in the South. I grew up around what were called FDR Democrats, and a lot of very, very, very godly people were lifelong Democrats in the South. You know, I think about my grandparents. I mean, they're in heaven now, but I mean, they were passionate followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were also lifelong Democrats. And I well remember in 1980, my grandmother, rest her soul, she was very conflicted because for the first time in her life, she voted for a Republican, Ronald Reagan. But here's the thing, folks, you've got to understand. The Democrat Party of 2020 is not the Democrat Party that our grandparents knew, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the FDR Democrats that brought us out of the Depression. And frankly, I think of JFK in his January 1961 inauguration speech, how he talked about the fact that the rights of man come from the hand of God, not from the government. And so I want to comment on a Wall Street Journal article from 6 months ago by Robert F. Kennedy's campaign chair, Michael Bleckman, who Bleckman, a lifelong Democrat, he said that he couldn't be a Democrat today, and he didn't believe that RFK or JFK could. Why? Because while I'm not setting up JFK nor RFK as any paragons of morality or government that we necessarily ought to set as a standard. But at the same time, they did believe in God. They understood our Christian foundations. My goodness, folks, Ted Kennedy spoke at Liberty University, 25, 26 years ago. And Jerry Falwell, the founder of Liberty, had debated Ted Kennedy in many a forum. And so Ted Kennedy sort of kind of jokingly said to Jerry Falwell, you would probably never have me speak at Liberty. Well, Jerry did have Ted Kennedy speak at Liberty. And I've watched the video on YouTube several times when Ted Kennedy, now if ever there were an arch liberal, it was Ted Kennedy. When Ted Kennedy spoke at Liberty, in the first few minutes of his remarks, he said America was founded as a Christian country. Now, thank God for David Barton and Bill Federer and, Stephen McDowell and all the others. But Ted Kennedy said what no progressive and certainly no Marxist like AOC or the Squad would say today. Now, how does that relate to the DNC convention this week? I watched and AOC and the different ones, Pete Buttigieg, who spoke, and he said, and I quote, that he said, in America, we now have the right to marry whomever. Now listen carefully, because this is emotionally charged rhetoric that will tug at the souls of most people. Buttigieg, in his clip last night, he said, never again will the government tell us who or who we can't love. End of quote. Now, here's my point. You've got to understand people. You've got to understand. And I beg of you to think about this as you pray, register, stay informed, and prepare to vote this fall. The DNC platform over and over, and in Biden's speech, too, I heard a party that is saying there are no moral absolutes. Pete Buttigieg, now, and again, the way this rhetoric is spun, and I promise you, oh my goodness, I promise you, from the emceeing by Julia Louis-Dreyfus to the different presenters, from Bernie to Kamala. Did you watch the kind of the Zoom, very collegial, laughing, cutting up, just a very friendly with Bernie was on there and quite a number of others. And Pete Buttigieg said, aren't you thankful we're in an America that doesn't fault me for who I am? Now, and by that, what he means, of course, is that he is a gay male. Now, how people come to a point of same-sex attraction and how people have gender confusion, that's another story. We can talk about that. But folks, you've got to understand point number one, all of those DNC speakers and the DNC convention and their candidate Joe Biden are offering for us to buy an America with no moral boundaries whatsoever. That might sound good. It's dangerous. Stay tuned. More after this.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Andrew McDurbin is a media specialist at the Discovery Institute and author of a blog that attempts to apply biblical principles to technology. He was on my radio program recently to talk about an article posted at the Breakpoint website. The global pandemic has affected our lives in countless ways. One of the most concerning is the reality that our screen time has skyrocketed. We're now relying on technology companies more than ever. He concludes that the pandemic has given many tech companies a golden opportunity to solve our daily pain points and get us hooked on their products and services. This leads to an interesting irony. We have more digital technology available to us than ever before, but we seem more unhappy than ever before. He says, as Christians, we want to be a witness for Christ and use the gifts God has given us to live purposeful lives and build His kingdom. But when we use technology, it becomes automatic and unthinking. Our health and well-being are at risk. He recommends that we take stock of the technology we already have in our lives, especially the digital technology of gadgets and screens. Are we using the technology tools merely to waste time? Do these new devices and services keep us from thinking for ourselves? Do they enable us to use our God-given abilities and spiritual gifts? Do these digital technologies help us accomplish what God has called us to do? These are good questions and require that we begin to set boundaries. He admits that knowing where to draw the line between things you think through yourself and thinking you delegate to a computer can be difficult. All of this requires thoughtful analysis of the tech tools you bring into your life and a careful evaluation of how you'll be using them. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Racism, go to viewpoints.info/racism. That's viewpoints.info/racism.
Jesus says that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Luke uses the word division.
Jesus did not come to bring unity. An article by Mason Beisler, staff writer for the AFA Journal.
We've portrayed Jesus as this loving and accepting individual, but that's only part of who he is. That's only part of his character. But the same Jesus who stopped and embraced the children and blessed them and healed the lame and the leper was the same Jesus who flipped over the money tables and drove people out of the temple with a whip. So Jesus came bearing truth, and he walked and talked and preached that truth, and he provides us with an example of how to live fearlessly in support of that truth.
To read Mason's article, visit afa.net/the stand.
I want people to be encouraged to stand for the truth no matter what the cost. I'm not saying it's easy, but when you do, you're not alone.
Brian Fisher here. Chris Wallace of Fox News has become a cheerleader for the dark side of the force. The DNC was so bad, not even Hollywood celebrity John Cusack liked it. The choice November 3 between the two candidates and parties is unmistakably clear, and it's Free for All Friday, where we let you help us set the table for our conversation. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Bishop Jackson, a beloved colleague and friend. He is such a joy, and frankly, it's a great honor to sit in for Bishop Jackson. Hey, what are your thoughts on the DNC convention, the speeches we heard specifically? Let's talk about Biden's presentation last night. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love to talk about this. By the way, I've got a brand new book out. I would beg of you to read this book. And one of the reasons I guess I can be a little bit brazen in promoting this book, I made no money off of this book, don't want any money. I wrote this book because of the urgency of our nation. So not one penny of any of these proceeds go into my pocket, and the Lord knows that's true. But it's called The Assault on America: What We Must Do to Save Our Country. It just went up live on Amazon a couple of days ago. American Family Radio will have the audiobook version of it. And if you want the audiobook version, you can go to afastore.net.net. If you want the book version, the printed version, I'm told if you order it on Amazon, you'll have it by Monday. But in this book, I talk about, for one, now listen carefully, I talk about 21 realities of the Biden-Harris ticket that you will not hear in any news, and one of which is this. Then I want to talk about Biden's speech. And if you want to comment on it or any of the speakers, call 888-589-8840. But in my book, one of the things that I got on good authority was that Biden and Harris, in their first year, will give citizenship to some 12 million undocumented, aka illegals, full citizenship with voting rights, instant amnesty. Some people that were helping me proofread this manuscript I wrote over the last 60 days, they said, that's a little over the top, are you really sure? This week, a tape came out, a commercial, where in Joe Biden's own words, in his voice, he said, we're going to give voting and citizenship to 12 million illegals. There's so many things we could say. Free health care, for universal health care, free college tuition. And the fact is, I'm listening to all of these things last night as Biden, as all candidates do in a speech, he'll say, you know, we want an economy that works for everybody. Well, let's talk, but at the same time, punishing businesses for making a profit. Can't have it both ways. Hey, we're going to go to Virginia. Oh, I love Virginia. Lived there for 6 years while I was in grad school. Kenny, are you there? Hello, Kenny. Kenny from Virginia.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good. Thank you for holding. Good. Welcome to the Awakening.
Worries. Yeah. No worries. I appreciate you filling in for Bishop. Hey, I went to my doctor the other day and I asked him when he thought all this COVID was over. You know what he replied?
What?
I have no idea. I'm not a politician.
So yeah.
That's what.
Good. That's good.
This is the first convention that I've ever watched, as much as I can stomach of it, where they don't have anything positive. It's just a bash Trump thing. And I'm just praying that people can see through this. I mean, mass distribution of wealth this is what they're pushing, and raising our taxes and less jobs. And it's crazy that that's the platform they would run on.
Well, you know, it is. And I listened to it too, Kenny. And I was thinking about, okay, let's imagine you're at a job site and there's one crew that's the demolition crew. You know, we're going to tear the building down. Okay, well, what are you going to put back in its place? And the whole mantra was not, here's our realistic plan to better America. I mean, the one action point, defeat Trump, defeat Trump, defeat Trump. Okay, yeah, but what's the positive plan for the future? Which I for one, didn't hear. Did you?
No, I didn't hear out of, and I might have watched 4 hours total out of the four days it was on, and nothing positive. You know, I saw the highlights and stuff, but like you said, there was nothing that should make an American want to vote for that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's enough stuff being shoved through the press now. Hey, remember that nursery rhyme, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire?
Yes, yes.
Remember that? It would be a lot more fun watching the secular news if that was true, wouldn't it?
Well, it really would. Kenny, hey, thanks. And by the way, on Biden's speech last night, which to his credit, he delivered the speech, and I was listening very intently. I only heard two times that he almost got tangled up in his words. But I have it on pretty good authority that he has rehearsed that speech 3 months. No kidding, folks.
I'm sure. Wait. He was heavily prepped. I believe you.
Yeah, I mean, when he gets off script and with no teleprompter, it's going to be a vastly different candidate, Biden. Kenny from Virginia, thank you so much. We're going to go up to Michigan, the People's Republic of Michigan. Deb, are you there?
I am here.
Before we talk about the convention, I've got to say, I hear Christians all across America, we are very concerned for Michigan. Our heart goes out to you. You guys have had a pretty intolerable climate to live in up there.
Our governor, I haven't looked for a week, so it's probably more than this right now, but just since March, she's issued more than 160 executive orders. It may be more than 170 this week, just since March.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What is the mindset? I want to talk about the DNC, but, you know, seriously, I love Michigan. I've been up there to speak a number of times. I've been around Michigan. Yeah, I mean, talk about overreach of power. I mean, what's the mindset of your fellow citizens up there, Deb?
It's hard to say, but anybody that I've engaged in conversation, like that works at Walmart, that is obviously not thrilled about wearing a mask any more than I am. I have not. Of course, I live in a very rural area. I'm about 60 miles away from Grand Rapids. I'm nowhere close to Detroit. We probably are in the land that Governor Whitmer's rarely, if ever, passed through. I take that back. She's got a cottage up north. She probably has passed through here. I see Trump signs around. I haven't seen one Joe Biden sign in anybody's yard.
Wow.
I don't think anybody north of Grand Rapids, or very, very few anyways, north of Grand Rapids, will be voting for Biden.
Right.
And yet, you know, Trump didn't win Michigan by a whole lot last time, and we now have new election laws. We have a leftist governor, a leftist secretary of state, and a leftist attorney general. So I'll be shocked if there's any way that Trump could possibly pull off Michigan this time.
What about, do you know, Deb, anything about the Auto Workers Union? I know traditionally unions vote Democrat, but with just the punishing laws and positions of the left against business, do you know if the auto industry or the unions could possibly see their way clear to vote Republican this go round?
I don't know anybody. I don't know any union members well enough to have a conversation with them. I mean, not any auto union. I would be really shocked if anybody in auto unions or teachers unions would vote for Trump. I'd be surprised. I do think he's probably won over the police unions this year, at least.
Exactly. And that was very encouraging last week when the police unions in New York had that. Frankly, it was a very moving video where they talked about their support for the president. And
yeah, yep.
Exactly. Well, Deb, thank you. Hey, I know I speak for millions of Christians. We are praying for Michigan. We truly are praying for you folks.
Yeah, it's a great state. There's a lot of Christians in this state. If only we could annex Detroit to Canada, you know.
Aha. Uh-huh. And there, it's beautiful up there. I mean, my goodness, Michigan has some incredibly beautiful country up there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, and yet we were closed down. I mean, summer starts in Michigan Memorial Day weekend, but we were shut down until the day after Memorial Day. So what Michigan's economy is going to, if an economy is going to come out of this, it's hard to see how it's going to be promising.
Sure. Randy, we're going to queue up Jason from Texas here in a minute. But Deb, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. And keep the faith. Stand strong. God bless you.
Thank you.
We're going to go to Texas. I've always said, had I not been born in North Carolina, I would have asked the good Lord to let me be born in Texas. But Jason, are you there? Hi, Jason.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Great. Good to hear from you. Where in Texas are you, my friend?
I am in Houston.
Houston, Texas, down there where MD Anderson heals so many people and does such good. Jason,
yes.
Did you watch much of the DNC convention?
I haven't watched any of it.
Well, well hey, I hear some music. Randy, how long do we have till we have to pull out to a break? Now, okay. Jason, don't go away. Jason, Steve, David, the people on hold. We're going to come back. This is The Awakening on the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson, talking about the recent DNC convention and more. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Every human has two basic needs when it comes to the area of love. One need is to love, and the other is to be loved. These are two basic needs of the human personality. Once, while visiting in the hospital, I was stopped by an elderly lady in a wheelchair. She didn't know me, and I didn't know her. But she wanted to talk with someone. She told me about herself. She had no family to visit her, but some people from her church visited with her quite often. Tears came to her eyes as she told me about their visits. They meant so much to her. This elderly lady needed a little attention, some affection, wanted to know someone cared for her, someone loved her. We all have this need to be loved, to know that someone cares for us, to know that we are important to someone. It's a hunger in the human heart to be loved. It's a natural hunger, as natural as breathing. Then also, every person needs to give love. Robert Hugh Benson once said, "It is only the souls that do not love that go empty in this world." Give love, and love will be given you. Not always by all those you give love to, and not always in the manner you desire, but by enough people to make life enjoyable. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I've seen enough of life to know that love must have an outlet. Unexpressed love can be extremely dangerous to the human personality. I've even seen unexpressed love turn to hatred. A home where love is given and received by all members of the family is a happy home. A home where one member, only one member, fails to give or receive love is often a miserable experience. So I say again, love must have an outlet. I've seen couples who did not have any children love a pet as they would a child. Why? Because of the need to express love. Children are part of God's plan to give parents an outlet to express love. So are our marriage partners. They are a part of God's practical plan to help us meet this need. It's just as important to learn to accept love as it is to give love. However, you can accept love without giving, but I don't think you can give love without accepting. Therefore, the emphasis should be on giving. Now, these two basic human needs must be met vertically as well as horizontally. We need to love God and accept God's love of us. The best way we can express our love for God is to love our fellow man. An unknown author has put it this way: "I sought my soul, but my soul I could not see. I sought my God, but my God eluded me. I sought my brother and found all three." Each of us has two basic needs: to love and to be loved. Remember to give love, and love will be given to you. Accept God's love and love Him in return. If you will learn to do these things, life will be enjoyable and worth the effort it takes to live.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Bishop Jackson. Very honored to do so, and we'll be on again at 3 p.m. Central, 4 o'clock Eastern, with Exploring the Word. We have a Fire Away Friday, this show. And by the way, if you want to email us, word@afr.net, W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. And again, let me remind you, I've got a brand new book out, just came out this week. You can have it by Monday if you order it online, but it's The Assault on America, What We Must Do to Save Our Country. And there's some things in there you honestly will not hear anywhere else about what really imperils the preservation of our Constitution. But I want to go back to the phones. Jason from Houston, Texas. Jason, are you still holding?
I'm here.
Howdy do. Thanks for holding, brother. If it was a comment about the convention, or what's on your mind, Jason?
Yeah. Well, first off, I just want to say that I have no affiliation to Democratic or Republican or any political party. So anything that I'm saying, I'm not defending anyone.
Okay, fair enough.
I was just wondering, you know, because when you go to the scripture, we don't find a single example of God's faithful being so invested in political parties, governmental politics, and so forth. You know, but I was just wondering that I know that it was put on that, you know, what was our opinion of the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
And, but so far, rather than simply being an opinion, it appears that just the negatives have been brought out because I haven't heard a single positive yet. So I was just wondering if this same type of show has been or will be done for President Trump and the Republican National Convention and so forth.
Good question. And so maybe like in the spirit of balance and objectivity, let's do in business, we do a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Do a balance sheet on the Republicans too, you're saying?
Right.
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 Let me comment on this, and thank you, Jason. This is a good point because, look, and hey, obviously our home is in heaven, and as a born-again Christian, most of our listeners are Christians, and I'm sure we have a lot of people that hear the gospel through AFR and become believers. And to your point, and Jason, I appreciate this is a wonderful question or observation, really. Okay, it does seem like It probably does seem like that we who are evangelicals and Christians and ministers, we're like really invested in politics right now. Now, for a Christian to speak about politics and be involved in politics, I believe is not a bad thing because, you know, Romans 13, 1 through 7 talks about Christian civic involvement. And I think about 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, where we are to pray for kings and authorities and for those in high places. Now, I can honestly say that during the Obama years, the 8 years of Obama's presidency, I prayed every week, many times, almost every day. I was praying for the president. I wrote him a letter. I listened to his inauguration speech in January of 2009, and I wrote him a letter. I said, "Mr. President, that was a phenomenal speech, very stirring. I did not vote for you, but you are now my president. And I will pray for you and your family, and I wish you God's best, God's favor." And so I can honestly say, and I know millions of Christians do, pray for even those that are elected for whom we did not vote, because 1 Timothy 2 tells us to. But I think, Jason, part of the reason that we seem so invested is because we know as those two candidates. And this is not a blanket affirmation of everything all the Republicans have said and done, far from it. And this is not a blanket condemnation of everything that the Democrats or candidate Biden or Kamala Harris has said or done. Because, I mean, my goodness, there are plenty of what are called rhinos, Republicans in name only. And while we want to critique Republicans, you know, I think about people like Susan Collins from Maine and Lisa Murkowski, and I think about even Mitch McConnell. I think about so many of the Republicans that could have done things for the Constitution, for life, could have done so many things for to end terrorism and stand unapologetically for Israel. And so there are plenty of Republicans that, you know, Roy Blunt and so many, Peter King and Richard Burr, from my home state of North Carolina, there are plenty of Republicans that we could make very heavy and thorough critiques of. Here's the point, Democrat, Republican, here are the questions. And these are the questions I honestly believe that our founders, if Jefferson, Franklin, John Adams, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, if they could come back now, they would ask these questions of both parties. And herein are the matrices by which we measure. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe in the moral code, objective moral truth that emanates from the character of God? Do you recognize that our government, Eisenhower said in the 50s, listen to this, folks, President Eisenhower said our founders had to appeal to the God of the Bible for their experiment to make sense. The three branches of government come from the book of Isaiah, prophet, priest, and king. And they understood that it was only in the context of a Judeo-Christian worldview. Look, why could we say that all people have the right to life? The founders knew all people are made in the image of God and therefore have inherent worth and value and dignity. So, Jason, the reason that we would be critical of the Marxists that now run the Democrat Party, the reason that we would be affirmative of our president, vice president, and the believers in moral truth that he's appointing to court benches around the nation is because, look, God, morality, limited government, secure borders, the rule of law, a stable, safe society, friendship with the nation of Israel, not the empowerment of terrorists, the best way to create wealth and put food on tables and a roof over people's head, and the best way to grow a great nation that we used to believe for two centuries is not to punish business and not to create entitlement and a welfare state where government is the god. No, the best way is to get out of people's way, set them free, let them keep what they earn. And last night in Biden's speech, by the way, and I want to get back to the calls, folks, 888-589-8840. And get ready. I know we're going to go to Steve in Texas. But look, Biden last night, one thing, he kept saying, an economy that works for all and jobs for everybody. Then in half a breath later, he would say, and we're going to punish corporations that make profit. Well, look, where are all these jobs going to come from for people to make a living, which they should be able to do? But if you're going to punish the ones that provide those jobs, look, people that own corporations, they're intelligent. They know that if you're going to tax them and regulate them flat out of business, they're going to stay alive by taking their corporation somewhere else. So I would argue that it has been the punishment of business and the demonizing of profit that has caused much of the unemployment that we are wrangling with today. So I'll grant you, America, like Franklin said in 1787, he said, we've created a republic if you can keep it. If it's a Marxist welfare state where government is God, that is incompatible with the constitutional Judeo-Christian republic we've had for 242 years. Okay, Alex is going to hit the pause button on his little rant here, and I want to go back to Texas and talk to Steve. Steve, are you there? Hello, Steve.
Yes, sir. Alex, 95.
Hey, guess what, Steve? Hold that thought. I'm sorry. We're coming up on some music. Got a little break happening here. Steve, don't go away. David, Gary, and David also from Texas. We're going to come back on The Awakening, the American Family Radio Network, with Alex McFarland for Bishop E.W. Jackson. Stay tuned. We're back real soon, right after this.
Coronavirus pandemic.
I've been seeing how people have been responding to how certain events are going on in the world.
Faith and peace in the midst of chaos. An article by Maddie King.
Maybe this is just God giving us a sign saying that we need to come back in prayer and repentance. I don't know about you, but if you look outside, you can see how sinful and worldly we've really become as a people.
To read this article and more, visit EngageMagazine.net.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
It's like that chrysalis moment. You know, the kids are kind of like those little caterpillars, and then pretty soon they harden up, and you can kind of see the transformation. You see their wings.
Marcy Scyther on Focus on the Family Minute.
I was watching this one day after a science experiment with our kids, and one by one, the caterpillars started coming out of their chrysalises, and they had these wrinkled little wings, and they started flapping them, and one caterpillar was struggling. He was really struggling, and it was so tempting to just reach over and want to peel that off of the butterfly, but if we did that, it would kill it. It would never get to where it was supposed to go. And so I just sometimes think that that's actually what the Lord does for us.
Allow God to do His work in your children as they grow and reach adulthood. And hear more from Marcy at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Alex McFarland here, author of the brand new book, The Assault on America, What We Must Do to Save Our Country. It's available online now. I would ask you to please read it before the election. Let's go back to Steve in Texas. Sorry about that, Steve. The break came up on me. But what you got, my friend?
I think that 95% of our problem in the United States, maybe more than that, is the abortion issue. I've watched enough of that stuff on TV that know that the Democratic Party's wanting to expand that, not get rid of that. So anyway, if we can vote Republican, we got a chance to do something with abortion. Otherwise, God's not going to bless our country when we're doing what we're doing. So
I agree. Anyway. Hey, and let me say this, and thank you so much. You're right. Folks, natural law. You might not know the phrase natural law, but and look, this is not Christianity, although it's compatible with it. Whenever you talk about life and we say abortion is wrong, the left will say, okay, the First Amendment, you can't impose your religion on me. Look, the Founding Fathers, there's just this moral code, and natural law says that the most fundamental right is the right to life. And last night in Biden's speech where he talked about the rights of all Americans, yeah, how about the unborn? Hey, listen, folks, brace yourself. I'm going to make a statement. We've heard all summer long, Black Lives Matter, and they do. All lives matter. But I want to tell you, Black Lives Matter to Planned Parenthood's bottom line. I mean, if the left cared so much about the lives of all people, and of course, precious African Americans made in the image of God, all lives matter. But look, I want to tell you why the left is so pro-abortion. One of the reasons, it's because Black Lives Matter to Planned Parenthood's profit margin. And that's what's so sad. And the caller is right. How can God bless us when, look, the number of babies aborted since 1973, I mean, it would take Adolf Hitler times about 14 or 15. I've millions and millions and millions of children aborted for profit and convenience. I've got to believe God cares about that. I want to go to David in Virginia. David, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for holding.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Sure. Talk to me. And turn your radio down if you don't mind. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So this is Alex?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to, you know, the last caller talked about 95% of what's wrong with America, and I agree with him. Abortion is horrible and should be stopped, all abortions. But I also wanted to mention that some of the biggest reason why we've gotten here is giving the next generation over to the world. And we do that by having them go to public schools where they're taught atheism and secular humanism and moral relativism. But this pandemic has brought about a situation that has actually become a blessing. And that is schools, uncertainty about schools reopening, and many, many, many thousands, tens of thousands of parents turning for the first time to say, I need to homeschool. How do I do this?
Amen. Amen.
And so what's going on is there's a virtual event that's been created. It starts on Tuesday for 3 days. It's absolutely free. It's called Homeschooling with Confidence. And the link is homeschoolingwithconfidence.org. And you can
Is it a Christian event?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, sir. And you can go on there and register for free and watch the entire 3 days, be part of that. 16 of the top speakers on homeschool, these are the experts on homeschooling, will be giving information that's helpful to both beginner parents, beginner homeschoolers, and seasoned pros. It's fantastic, and I just wanted to let somebody know.
well, thanks very much, David. Thanks. And, hey, I'm going to get to the next call. Gary, I'm not familiar with that event, so we're not endorsing it or not endorsing it. Just understand, folks, that's a thing. But, David, thanks for making us aware of that. And, yeah, that's right. Look, by God's grace, I've been in youth ministry for 31 years. And I will tell you, and I come from a long line of public school teachers. My mother was, my sister was, my sister-in-law is, my grandmothers were. But the public schooling of 2020, it is programmed to make compliant little socialist secularists out of young people. And I know there are Christian teachers, and I know there are some Christian students, but a big part, and look, I give God the glory, but I've spoken or debated at 200 American universities. I can tell you from firsthand exposure that American education, unless it's a solidly Christian school, American education is just so inherently anti-God and anti-patriotism. So the caller is right that this has been a great opportunity to build millions of new families into the ranks of homeschoolers. Let's go to Gary in Ohio. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to The Awakening. Yeah. What you got?
First of all, I want to say God bless AFR.
Amen.
Second thing, the other thing is Joe Biden, if you listen, he ain't talking about any issues in hand of how to create jobs or how we're going to get over this slump we're in with this COVID-19. And he's not even talking about how he's going to get all these illegals in. But how are they going to get paid for? Where's the money going to come from? There's nothing being issued or talked about all that.
Yeah, it's just defeat Trump, defeat Trump. And, you know, I know the American taxpayer, our backs are breaking under just oppressive taxation already. And we're talking about doing things, not only things that don't create new wealth, but also things that will further tax an already overly taxed electorate that's being economically bled dry anyway. And again, throughout the convention, they played their classic card of trying to class envy. The business owners, bad, bad, bad. The proletariat workers, good, good, good. Folks, it was... And listen, I love these people. I pray for these people. God, I wish them no ill. But what you heard this week, although you had to listen carefully to understand the real philosophies behind what they were saying, this was socialism being offered to the American people. Gary, you're right. David in Texas. And time fleets away, so I'm going to try to get everybody in. David, where in Texas are you?
I'm up here around Willis, Conroe, north of Houston.
Okay, great, great. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for holding. I know you've been on hold a good long time. Talk to me, David.
I just want to say, first off, thank you for your service, because most people don't realize what a pastor, evangelist goes through. So.
Well, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And yes. keep me in your prayers. It's an honor to tell people about Jesus. What do you do in Texas, David?
I work in a manufacturing company.
God bless you.
Dishes all over the world. We're doing safety shields, all the safety shields you see coming on the counters and restaurants and schools now.
Okay.
Because
wow.
of the coronavirus. Yeah, we're doing that now.
Plexiglass.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Did you listen to Biden's speech last night?
Yes, sir, I did. I listened to about 5 or 10 minutes of it, and one thing that just stuck out was there was one statement he made that Trump has been cozying up to dictators all around the world. And I was like, I mean, my jaw dropped.
Completely false.
My eyes got like as big as a dollar coin. I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's a lie that he's, and I'm thinking, how can you lie like that? But yeah,
I know. It was ridiculous. After I heard that, I sent a text out to a friend of mine. Because she's a lot like I am. And I was just like, I cannot. I mean, you have got to be either mental or just don't have a clue to understand.
Yeah, and do you remember the Bill and Hillary Clinton meeting on the tarmac? This was back, you know, 4 years ago during the, I forget all the details of it, but talk about fraternizing with foreign interests and dictators and, you know, getting money from foreign countries. That was a very over-the-top statement. David, thanks for pointing that out. Thanks for listening and thanks for your prayers. Randy, can we go down to Missouri? Oh my goodness, folks, if you want to see some beautiful America during the springtime and summer, take a drive through Missouri someday. It is just exquisitely beautiful, and Arkansas as well. But Billy, thanks for holding. Are you still there?
I am.
Talk to me.
Well, I wanted to thank you for taking my call, and you know, this is a caller that I have voted for both Democrats and Republicans. And the point I wanted to get across and get your thoughts is, I felt that the message they had, and I watched almost the whole convention, I felt like, was that Biden is a good person. And regardless of his political leanings, I felt that, you know, what they said and what with what Trump says on Twitter and how he attacks people, and it was refreshing to see someone that had a good story and seemed like a very kind of
a decent person. Yeah, hang tight for a second, folks. We gotta pull away. Yeah, look, I'm not doubting that Biden is a good citizen, quote unquote. Although, you know, his lifelong stand for abortion and his political accomplishments, quote unquote, are debatable at best. But listen, folks, you've got to pray, be informed, stay tuned to AFR. Because you can be informed, vote, plan to vote, and plan to influence others. We're talking about the preservation of our republic. I think my new book, The Assault on America, will help you make an informed, balanced, beneficial decision. God bless you. Thanks for listening. See you soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.